Yakuza. Yakuza Kick Radio.
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 This is the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont. And if there's one place to listen to on the internet, every Thursday, 9 p.m., Yakuza Kick Radio. Tremont says so. Who wants some?
God help us, Jesus! God and baby, Jesus! Help us!
Ladies and gentlemen of fucking America, this is Danny Havoc, and you have been listening to, or possibly are intending to listen to, the Yakuza Kick fucking radio. Fucking, yeah! Yakuza Kick Radio.
Hell fucking yeah!
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
You're coming to come on Thursday night in California!
This is a brotherhood, and we all stick together. Like my nuts.
I ain't scared of you, motherfucker.
Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Everybody's a cunt but me in the world. I don't know what it is.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity, Toby Klein, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird.
Oh, I don't like the cut of your jib, fella.
This is Greg Excellent, Bearded Dragon of the Northeast. You're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. If you're not, probably watching porn and you have this muted. You should be listening to it, Jason Mann.
Where are Biggie and Tupac?
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Give a nigga rope on this cow, my
guy. All you have to do is listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that doc, you homie. Fuck that. Black D. Oh.
Bullshit, man. Motherfucker.
Fuck you. Fuck you and fuck you. Who's next?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the introduction.
Hosted by J. Cat Morris.
You are now listening to
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, J. Cat Morris. Man, got some stuff to get into. Christmas happened. Christmas was cool. I got no issues with that. Did my usual holiday celebration with the cats at work. I wrap a present, and they get to rip into it and stuff. So basically, you take a big giant cardboard box on the bottom, and then a little bit smaller one on the top of that, and a little bit smaller one. You can just go up like a pyramid, you know. The first two levels, I have stuff in it. So the bottom one, I want big enough to fit my big wet food bowl in it that I put about five cans of wet food in. And then I cut two big holes in the sides, and then you wrap the paper over the top of it. So if they rip the paper, they can walk right into that box. And then the next box, I put toys and catnip in it. Same thing, wrap it like that. And they just pyramid all the way up, and they jump and climb on it. They have a ball with it. I do that every year at the shelter. So did that deal, you know. It's a lot because, you know, wake up on Christmas and it's like go time with the kids with the presents. But I know, like, I can't just chill because as soon as I'm done with this, I got to go do my job in, like, record time because I got to get in there. By the time I get in there, it's, you know, 10, something like that. Now I got to do all of my cages. I got to do my roaming area. I got to scrub everything, get that present thing ready, film, video that, medications. Like, there's a lot to do in a little bit of time. So, you know, it's a little hectic, but once things calm down, chilled out, great day, you know? You know, we did all of our lead up to Christmas, doing family movie nights, doing the movies, all the Christmas movies that I could at least still tolerate because, you know, I can't deal with cornball shit. Like, even if it's like traditional this and this, I just can't do it. So I made like a pretty strong list of movies that I was down with. And like, we put the Home Alones on and Elf and National Lampoons and obviously Muppet's Christmas Carol, Muppet Family Christmas. Muppet Family Christmas is my shit. So that goes down like Christmas Eve, you know. But, you know, the Home Alones, those fucking parents are garbage. The fucking McAllisters are absolute trash. Like, they shit on that kid so heavy. The uncle blatantly hated the kid. Just, like, blatantly, openly fucking hated that kid. Like, treated him like garbage. Like, fuck you, kid. Like, that, like, all day. Like, just right in front of the parents and shit. Just, like, completely shit on him. Like, they treated him like such fucking garbage every movie. Both movies. And to the point where this kid was just like, I'm fucking out. And he didn't have, like, a game plan. Shit just, like, happened. He's like, fuck it. It's cool. So they leave him at the fucking house. And he takes, like, 10 minutes to just go, like, oh, I'm good. I'm going to the store. I'm going to get some shit. Fucking the wet bandits show up. He fucking fights them off. Fucking all of this. You know, he showed himself he could fucking last on his own. The parents get back. I don't know why he's so fucking dying to see them. And, you know. They shit on him the whole beginning of it. And then he handled business like a fucking man in the house, taking care of two other grown-ass men trying to rob him. And then the parents come back and he's like, oh, thank God, I'm so sorry. Why are you sorry? Like, these motherfuckers wound up with him apologizing at the end when it began with them shitting on their own kid. You know what I mean? Like, it's fucking, it's crazy. And then the second movie starts and they lay it in right away. Like, we didn't learn nothing. Fuck that kid. Uncle, hey, fuck you, kid. Hey, guess what? Forgot this same motherfucker for the second time around. You know what I mean? And then in the end, he's sorry again? The fuck you talk? You lost me twice, bitch. The fuck you mean I'm sorry? You ain't. This shit is crazy, man. Fucking McAllisters, man. Those parents are trash. Rich trash. They don't give a fuck about that kid. So, yeah, they should have took that kid away. Like, somebody should have took that fucking kid away. What do you mean this is the second time you lost your fucking kid? You flew to somewhere else. Crazy ass shit. But, yeah. What was the other? I thought there was another. Oh, the other thing I wanted to talk about, Christmas-wise, is... Now, you know, I guess you could say I've had mixed feelings over the years about this topic, but... I've drew a pretty hard line now on it. People who buy, like, the PlayStations and then resell them for a grand are complete bags of shit. Because here's the deal. Like, I don't even want to say I helped because there was no actual sale taking place. But years ago, my buddy Stan, my previous buddy Stan, he's a jerk off now, but he bought... in retrospect, and he was always a jerk. He bought a bunch of Furbies when Furbies were popping. And he fucking slept outside the store. I didn't go with him for any of that shit. He went, like, slept outside the store or some shit just so he could fucking, he had this dream he was going to make all this fucking money around Christmas with the Furbies. So he slept overnight in the parking lot somewhere, got his fucking Furbies. And now he's like, dude, we got to go sell these Furbies and shit. And he had, like, no leads. He had no, like, didn't know anyone who wanted to buy one, anything. He just walked around like a street peddler with fucking Furbies. So now we're walking around in the Woodbridge Mall, and he's going, like, yeah, I got a Furby. And shit like this. Motherfuckers are looking at him, and eventually, like, someone just told on him, and they told us to leave the store. Like, I didn't have a Furby. I wasn't, like, really, like, you know, carnival barking like he was and shit. But I just thought that shit was hilarious. That's, like, the one experience I had with, you know, something like that. But, you know, as you mature and you start to really look at things, and I understand supply, demand, yeah, survival of the fittest, but the same reason why it's illegal for stores to price gouge because shit's in demand is the same reason why it's a scumbag move to do it, you know, as a human, just as a fucking person. Because you got to understand, around Christmas, what you're dealing with is you're dealing with parents who are doing everything they can to please their child. They'll go and they'll sleep outside of that fucking store to make sure that they get one for their child because they don't want to disappoint their kid for Christmas. Now, if all the assholes who just want to make extra money get these reserved spots and they're sleeping outside the fucking stores just to jack up the price. So that same parent that would do anything for their kid now has to pay $1,000 because this jerk off got there first. It's just a shithead move. Because the only reason that person is going to pay way more than it's worth is because their kid's happiness is worth that to them. So for you to capitalize on that specific thing, it's a shithead move and you could fuck yourself. You know what I mean? And I saw like a bunch of these people just like, well, you don't have to buy it if you don't want to. And, you know, just to clear it up too, I wasn't looking for a PlayStation this year at all. Like I don't get the PlayStations, and there was nothing I was trying to get this year that I couldn't get. That this wasn't like triggered by me getting screwed out of getting something. But, you know, like I don't get the PlayStation until it's at least out for 6 months because, you know, I want the bugs to work out, you know, where a couple of them set somebody's house on fire. It ain't going to be my fucking house. I'll hear about the shit on the news. Like the PS5s are bursting into flames. And I'm like, how about that? I ain't got one, you know? And then 6 months or a year passes and now you get a PS5 and they're not on fire anymore. You know, they got new fans or some shit. That's the version I'm looking for, you know? And you know, I only play so many games, so it's not that serious for me. But yeah, like it takes such advantage of the fucking people who are doing everything they can to please their kid. And not everybody has that type of money. So they're taking like their fucking Christmas bonuses. You know, I know around Christmas a lot of times I'll take my vacation in pay. You know what I mean? Like vacation time in pay so I could have that extra money so I could spend it on my kids and stuff. So when you're doing stuff like that and there's someone out there just trying to make extra money, you know, and yeah, sure, maybe they're trying to get some shit for their kids too, but like the survival of the fittest bullshit when it comes to like, you know, kids' Christmas presents is, it's kind of garbage, you know? So that's just how I feel about it. Let me see, I have the topics here. So I guess, you know, it's only right that right off the bat, I just get into, rest in peace, Brody Lee. This is hard to grasp, you know, the part of it that I understand, I guess one of those wrestling journalist nerds, got himself in trouble because he was questioning the thing where they said non-COVID, and I look, to a certain extent I agree, because it does raise suspicion when a 41-year-old, as far as I knew, healthy man, I don't know this guy's health history, I don't know anything about him on a personal level, and you know, in the end it doesn't really matter, he's gone, and that's tragic. That's so tragic. But you know, to hear like non-COVID lung complications, dead at 41. This isn't like, you know, a guy who was morbidly obese dragging himself around his fucking house and on oxygen and, you know, has had COPD for years and is, you know what I mean? Like, this isn't a dude that was having a hard time on a regular basis. I think he was on TV not that long ago. Now, I have a hard time, like, you know, remembering exactly when he was on TV because I don't watch any of it. So I just remember seeing a commercial at some point where it was going to be Brody Lee versus one of them. I don't know, one of them with the belt, whether it was Moxley or Cody or some fucking body. But so like this dude has been active, you know, this dude has been active. So I don't know. I don't know what like lung complications happen at 41. That's not like this shit that's out there. Because it's, you know, it's taking motherfuckers out. And there's times where, like, you know, there's false positives or false negatives, vice versa. Where, like, the wife tests positive. I think that happened with DDP. DDP and his girl was, like, he tested negative, but she tested positive. And he went through all the same symptoms and stuff, but she went through it more severe. So it was, like, he knew he had it, even though the test said that he didn't, you know, something like that. Like that happens a lot. So, I mean, I would just be worried that it's, just misdiagnosed, you know, or something like that. But for them to come right out ahead of things like non-COVID, whatever, I could see why people would be like, really? Like, what's up with that, you know? But either way, when it comes down to it, fucking rest in peace, Brody Lee. This dude was a star from the first time I saw him. He was one of those dudes that even prior to the CM Punk floodgates opening in the WWE, where, you know, the indies suddenly got their shine and everyone was kind of open game to be signed. It wasn't always like that. It was only like the bigger guys that you'd see get signed, you know, the Brody Lees, the Cesaro. And those were two guys that, you know, when you saw them come through CZW, you saw them on another one of the indies. To me, I always had that feeling like, how long do we get to have this guy for before someone grabs him? You know, like that was just the vibe I saw with him. When I saw him come into CZW and he was doing his shit with Cheech and Cloudy. And yeah, I mean, he was just a killer, you know, like he just had this aura about him. Like, yo, the big guy's here to fuck people up. You know what I mean? Like, he wasn't like everybody else. There was a lot of standard body type kind of thing, you know, average build, this and that. This guy was just something else. He had a presence about him and, you know, he didn't need to say shit. You know, the people that like have those gimmicks that they just present themselves and you just know what the fuck the deal is. He was that guy, you know, he had it from the start. He didn't have to cut a promo. He didn't have to say fucking anything. He just came out with these wide eyes, this crazy look, this dirty fucking wife beater shirt and a pair of jeans that are fucked up. Like, and you just knew shit's about to go down. Like, this dude's pissed off about something. I don't know what the fuck it is because he ain't really saying much, but he's out here to do some work. And that was the vibe I always got off of Brody. And you were just like, oh, shit, it's about to go down. And that's what you want to try to get across. So many wrestlers, I mean, they could talk their fucking heads off and they're still not going to get the point across that this guy and people like him would get across without saying a word. You know, Brody, he never, to me, he wasn't one of those guys that like, oh, shit, he got signed. It was like about fucking time he got signed. You know, this guy was fit for that type of thing. I'd say when it comes down to it that the Wyatt gimmick worked in huge part because of Brody Lee. Because you needed those enforcers. You needed legitimate, credible enforcers that were going to be with Wyatt. Eric Rowan was always the B player. He was always the second one, you know, he wasn't going to be a legitimate contender for anything. He was just kind of another goon. But, you know, Brody he was another top player. And you can see that. So now it was the Wyatts are here. Like, it's a fucking issue. It's not just, you know, Bray Wyatt and two jobbers. It's fucking Bray Wyatt and Luke Harper and Eric Rowan. So I think a big part of the success of the Wyatt family was due to Luke Harper. I mean, and his gimmick just completely fit. Like he barely needed to tweak anything about what he was already doing. And it just fit because his shit was ready for TV already. It's just an absolute shame. For 41 years old, this guy had his whole life ahead of him. He was absolutely going to be a legend in the business. I mean, he already is off of the amount that he has accomplished, but you imagine this guy could have put in that many more years and, you know, become such a major player on any platform that he was given, you know, whether it be WWE, AEW, Japan, anywhere that this guy was going to be, he was going to make an impact. You know, he was one of a kind. He stood out of a crowd. You couldn't get this guy blending into a group picture with wrestlers. He stood out. It's just an absolute shame. Rest in peace, Brody. And I ordered one of the shirts. I don't know. I want to say maybe it's EC3 ran it, or I don't know. But they put out like a shirt that the proceeds go to his family, and the shirt is just dope as fuck. So I ordered it like right away when I saw it up there. And you know, I'll post it when I get it so you guys can see it. And you know, if they still have them available, I'll you know, go grab one, because you know, I know he made some money in the WWE, but you know, all the videos and montages they put together him and all the friends that he had in the business always said all he did is talk about his family. He loved his family so much, and you know, for them to lose him at that age, you know, the amount of money he made in the WWE is not, there's nothing you could do to replace that guy. So, and I think any form of support goes a long way, you know, because even, you know, the financial number isn't the thing. Just seeing a certain amount of people support you and show love for the person that you lost in your life is, I think it's a great help. So that's why I support things like that, you know. Let me see. Now I got other topics. I'm trying to learn to maneuver this thing correctly rather than see, people bugging out with these questions sometimes. All right, so let me just cover these ones right off the bat, because I don't know what the fuck none of this shit is about. There were explosions, I guess, in Nashville. I barely even knew that was a thing. And I saw like a kind of thing real quick on the news. They were showing cop body cams and the thing blew up. And then I guess the guy died that exploded some shit. I don't know. Well, Tank said the missile that hit Nashville. Haha. So I guess somebody is saying that a missile hit Nashville and not like a bomb. I didn't even know that. So I don't know what I could tell you about it. Then Amber had said the creepy monoliths from outer space. I only a little bit know what that even is. I think it's like those silver things. I don't know where they are. I don't know how big they are. I think I saw a picture online. I don't have time to know where the fuck that shit is. I don't even know. And then she sent me a video. I don't have, like, I can't watch the video right now. But I can't imagine they're from outer space, but I don't have time for outer space, bro. I'm so busy with shit on Earth. I don't give a fuck what's going on in outer space. Like, I don't have time for shit outside of New Jersey, to be honest with you, let alone fucking outer space. You know? There's not a lot of times I leave the fucking town I live in. You know what I mean? Anymore. So, let me know how that goes, though. I mean, you know, if you see a monolith heading towards Lacey, New Jersey, then just holler at me. You know what I mean? Be like, yeah, they're starting to drop them off in South Jersey. And I'll be like, all right, hold on. Monolith proof my chicken coop or something. I don't know if they affect that. Bad enough these fucking winds. Like, ever since the Sandy shit, we just get these wind storms. They're like, oh, yeah, you probably just get like 50, 60 mile an hour wind gusts. Like, what the fuck? Snapped one of my bird feeder poles last week. Blew some plastic off the chicken thing, but nothing major. But yeah, it's crazy. We get these fucking winds out here all the time now. You know, another Christmas thing. My daughter's got really into these Squishmallow things, right? They're like these fucking pillows that are an animal of some sort. And initially it just annoyed the shit out of me. It's like, I just keep hearing, I want this one and this one. I got two of these. I got one of these. I'm like, how many fucking pillows are going to be in our house? Because, you know, they take up space. Like, these things are bigger than like a basketball. They're like 2-3 basketball size. I don't know why I went basketball, but it just doesn't really equate to basketball, but you know, they're pretty big. And, I just recently learned, though, if you, especially you get older and shit, you know, you sit on the couch, you know, shit could be a little rigid. It's not as cozy as you can be. you put like one of these fucking things under like your hip or like fucking sit on it or put your lower back on it or something. These fucking things are like a cloud. Fucking dope. So if your kids got those shits, go steal them and just like sit on them on the couch. You like that shit. Let me see. A GCW versus IWTV. I don't know what that's really all about. These are Jeff Sands questions. I saw GCW's like trying to opt out of IWTV, saying they're losing money on it and this and this. And I mean, I had heard that from the start that like they weren't really giving a lot of money to those companies. Like Ian signed on to the IWTV thing. I think it was still like Powerbomb TV or some shit. And he was saying, oh, we don't make any money off that, so I'm not putting any of my good shows on there. But he was still trying to like promote it too, but we're going to want to see those good shows, you know? But you would make more money off a DVD sale than you would make it off of, you know, the streaming service. Problem is, and that's where the shift needs to come, because the problem is DVDs are dead. I mean, if you could scrape a little bit more out of that pan, good on you, but it's all about digital now. So how much can you sell that digital copy for? And the answer is not fucking $20 like the DVDs were. That's not the answer. $20 for streaming on a show, you might get that live if you're lucky. You're damn sure not getting that on a replay. Go fuck yourself if you're selling an indie show for $20 on a replay. So you got to adjust. You got to figure out what the deal is going to be. If you need to get your own streaming service together or get some kind of ways to broadcast it like that, that's cool. But it's just, you know, it's a different landscape. And maybe GCW has a better handle on that with Fight TV or whatever. I don't know, because I don't really watch it. And I haven't had a PC in a while, so I used to catch some shit on my computer. But it's still sitting on my floor and I haven't sent it out. So, yeah, I haven't really caught anything. And honestly, I was watching some things on IWTV because I had that, but I don't have a PC. I'm not watching wrestling on my phone. I don't give a fuck about it like that. But I used to, every once in a while, I'd be in the mood for something, or I would know that they're running one of those No Holds Barred shows and there was live or whatever. And I would just put it on my TV because why not? But I lost my Fire Stick remote and I got to find it in this fucking room. And I haven't had it for like weeks. So I haven't turned on IWTV for weeks because of that specifically. But yes, I don't know. I don't know what their deal is with that. But Brett could go fuck himself. So I don't really give a fuck if they're getting screwed or whatever the case is. So it is what it is to me. He just like whines on fucking Twitter about, oh, and you know, I wish it was something different. But go fuck yourself. I don't give a talking about him. Brody memories. I just went over Brody stuff and how I felt about him. It's just fuck, man. Such a shame. Working out, backyard, diet through pandemic. All right. I shift gears a lot, and I think that's beneficial. So I mean, everybody's different. You know, you find out what works for you. And, you know, I was doing the backyard routines for a while. Started to get cold. And I also had all this fucking drama come down. And, you know, big things going on now with the moving of the house. You know, everything moving around the house. So I've been doing some shit for sure. But I've been doing more like indoor strict body part training. Not as vast as what I was doing before. But I'm pushing hard every time I get a chance. And then I've also been working in, like, on breaks at work. I'll work in fucking sets with, like, I'll do fucking delt raises with fucking bags of cat litter, like 20-pound bags of cat litter, do fucking, you know, sets of 20. You know, by the time I leave work, I got some work done on my muscles, too. You know what I mean? So if you incorporate things into your daily thing, you know, this is 20 pounds. Okay, well, that dumbbells 20 pounds, this bag of litter is 20 pounds. Do some shit with it. You know, you bust out some sets throughout the day, as well as whatever else you're going to do with the weights when you get home. I mean, you're doing fucking work. So shit like that, like you could really come up with some creative shit Everybody with this fucking, with the pandemic and, oh my God, I can't get back in the gym. Shut the fuck up. Go put in work. Go pick up anything. Wait a motherfucker. And now you know what you're working with. Now do shit with it. Press it, squat it, curl it. The fuck, man. Like, it doesn't take the building being called a gym to put in work. You can really motivate yourself to do some shit. The other big giant fucking light at the end of the tunnel, despite the fact that I'm putting in all sorts of work from wherever I can, now that this little crazy motherfucker is gone from my house, now the game plan is when we move these rooms around, instead of her getting a room, that's our gym. And we have it fucking locked and loaded and fucking ready. We have game plans. We know what fucking color. The walls are going gold with red trim, like Niner shit. I'm moving my Montana plaques in there and my rice plaque. And shit's going to be dope. We're going to put mirrors on the one wall. Nina wants some kind of like fucking elliptical something or other. I got like the bench racks that I can move, so I could just slide like a bench in there, and I could either use it for a squat rack or for, you know, hooks on my bench. It's going to be fucking dope. We're going to set it the fuck off in there. And, I'm excited. I got a new, easy bar and a bench bar for Christmas too. So I'm hyped about all that. Shit is going down. And diet, I mean, you know, I'm a very structured person. Like I have very specific ways that I like to do everything. So my breakfast and lunch has been the same for like 5 years or something, at least. Every day, you know, every once in a while, my lunch might be something a little different or something, but generally the same every single day for 5 years. It's 6 eggs for breakfast and a half a cup of oatmeal, steel cut oatmeal with a little honey in it. And that's it. There's nothing on the eggs. There's nothing, you know, that's every morning. And for lunch, it's like a chicken breast, usually baked with some brown rice. Maybe there's a little rosemary or some shit on the chicken or whatever. But and that's it every single day. And that, you know, that gives me the protein and the carbs that I need. Fuel myself through, you know, the first good half of the day plus, and then dinners, whatever. You know, I don't have a problem with burning fat as far as like snacks go. So I could eat snacks like a crazy motherfucker, but I know those two meals are solid as fuck. So it just works for me, but everybody's different. You got to figure out what works for your body and then just fucking kill it. I mean, find a way to be comfortable in what your body needs. You know, that's the best way I think I could put it, because it's a forever plan. You know, if you're not comfortable with eating the same thing every day, which most people aren't, I'm fucking out of my mind. But then you find a list of things that you could put into those slots and you just keep putting them there. You know, maybe you change it up a little bit and keep yourself interested in, but, you know, you could do it. How's the chicken coop upgrades holding up? Great. You know, with all these wins, this is obviously the test where it's like, all right, well, what the fuck is this metal roof going to stay down now because I put it on there and I'm no fucking carpenter? And the answer is yes, it has stayed on. Things are good. Dealing with a little bit of Bumblefoot with my girl Camilla in there. Which Bumblefoot, if you don't know, it's like it's an infection, almost like it's a form of staph infection in the foot. Chickens get it pretty often. Not often, but it's common within chickens. They shouldn't get it, but it does happen. Because what it is if they get any kind of cut on their foot, the way that they walk around in their own shit all day and, you know, stomping through the dirt the way that they do, they'll immediately get a really bad infection in whatever cut they get on the bottom of their foot. And it turns into like a staph infection. They'll start like a big black dot on there. And then, you know, it'll build up with infection behind it. Now hers hadn't built up with any infection or anything like that. I got it really early and it was just a black dot. So Nina had to bring her into work. You know, they cut that thing off or ripped that thing off, and then they cleaned it out, and then she needs her foot wrapped, and she's on Baytril pills. So I'm medicating the chicken, you know, at night, and you know, wrapping her foot every couple of days. She's doing good. She's just got to stay in there for probably like 30 days in a crate, in the pen in the crate. So yeah, it's, you know, just shit you got to do to take care of them, but they're doing good. You know, they're doing really good, and I'm happy with the way everything's holding up as far as the upgrades and things. So, and honestly, like freezing wise, I haven't had too many issues either, because with the plastic drop cloth that I have wrapped on the pen, it's kept it at least 10 degrees warmer in there. So if you go, it's like 30 degrees outside, you walk out there like, what the fuck? As soon as you get in the pen, it feels like 40, you know? So that's, it keeps the water from freezing as much, you know. If it drops too low for too long, shit gets frozen. I got to start carrying buckets, but, it does pretty well. Any suggestions for moving Shadow and Moxley to our new house? Those are his cats, for anyone who wondered. Yes, I would definitely start out the same way I would start out with a new cat in a house. It's not a new cat, but it is a new house. So I would take those cats and start them out in one room together with their litter box, their food bowls, that whole deal. And then just spend a bunch of time in there with them, mushing them and all that. You know, use the room that you're going to primarily want them in, a bedroom of some sort. You know, keep that door shut. And then just, they're familiar with you guys. So this is way easier than an initial transition. This is just baby stepping them into the new house. So you go in there and it'll probably only take you 2 days, you know, to mush them and, you know, keep them in there and just keep showing them affection. And then you just leave the door to that room open, and they'll peek out around the corner, and, you know, maybe they'll hear a noise, and a couple hours later, they'll, you know, rethink their game plan and maybe venture out into the hallway. You just let them take it gradually. And if you start out in one room, they won't just be spooked in a house, not knowing what's around every corner. They'll be able to grasp it, you know, very gradually. So, how is the home with the new changes? It's fucking fantastic. It's, the vibe here is beautiful. We got almost everything out of my mother's room. You know what sucked is garbage day fell on, you know, here the garbage comes Tuesday mornings and Friday mornings. So Christmas falling on a Friday, we missed the garbage day. Like, we don't get a garbage day for that. So we had garbage built up from fucking Christmas and clearing out rooms and shit. Like, clearing out my mother's room, it consumes so much space for trash. I mean, I got like 6 cans like filled and another couple bags sitting out there too. Like, it looks crazy. So I'm trying to just like fill my garbage days the best I can without, like, you know, catching a fine off the fucking sanitation company or something. But I need Deathmatch Russell to stop by with his work truck real quick. But yeah, I mean, it's coming along. We're almost clear in there. And I mean, really fucking close. Within this next week, should be able to start priming the walls, painting the walls. And from there, we got to come up with a game plan to replace or cover the carpet. We either have to put like a space rug, like a big space rug in there, or we got to put a new rug in there, but I'm not really sure what that costs, so we got to look into a bunch of that shit. Yeah, so things are coming around really, really nice, and I'm looking forward to so many things. It's going well. How are the two new kitties enjoying their new home? Very similar to like what I was telling you on, actually on a smaller level, what I do, you know, when I adjust these cats, especially these cats specifically, is I start out in a crate, and they live in a dog crate initially, the same way they lived in a cage in the shelter. and I gain their trust in the cage and the shelter. And they get to, you know, see all the cats around them, but they're not out amongst them just yet. They're eating, they're playing, they have their toys in there, litter box, food, the whole deal. And we just continue to clean that cage and go in there and pet them and, you know, spend time with them. And the other cats get to interact through the cage, and it helps them grasp their environment better than just letting them out, because now there's a bunch of strange animals around. There's people they don't really know so much. And then every single corner and counter and shelf is like a new space that they don't know what's going on there. So it's a little too much to handle all at once. We did the same with Mo, and Mo's laying right next to me on the bed now. He's doing fantastic. These cats specifically came from a house that had 38 cats in it. 90% of the cats were white. 95% of the cats were white. And I think they're Kalmani, which is a breed of cat. It's a rare breed of cat, but obviously not in this house. There's 38 of them. A few orange, I think just domestic short hairs, which Lisa's one of the ones I took home. She's orange. But mostly all the white group there. So with 38 cats there, they were only so socialized. So it was a lot to get them to adapt and bond with people. And when I was able to do that one-on-one in a cage, it's almost a seamless transition where you put them in a new cage in your home now. And now all those kennel noises of the barking, the doors slamming, because when the dogs go in and out of the kennel doors, you hear them slam like, bah, 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 you know, and it can be pretty loud and startling for a cat that's not used to that type of thing. So, you know, there's so many of those stressful noises that aren't there anymore, and it doesn't have that, you know, that concrete metal feel, you know, institutional kind of feel anymore. So there's so much that immediately benefits them and feels warmer. So that's what I've been doing. Lisa's doing great. She's running around in here in her cage. It's a big dog crate. You fit like a Great Dane in there. I mean, not with a lot of room for a Great Dane, but I mean, it would fit. But yeah, she's like playing in there and she's kicking the shit out of her bed. She rearranges her whole cage every night. Aria's a little bit more passive. I have her down in my girl's room and in the twins' room. And she's more passive, but she's doing very well. And they're interacting with her a bunch and getting her accustomed to, you know, the house and everybody. Huge benefit is these guys, even though they lived in a house, 38 cats and, you know, just one, I think, older woman, because she died. And that's how they discovered this. Their family, I guess, went to assess the damage and was like, holy shit. Like, then when they called animal control was like, yeah, okay, yeah, I don't really think we could take these many cats. So they kind of just left them hanging. And then they called our Newark branch. And when I got in touch with them, they went out there and they handled it. And they took all the cats. And they sent some down to us. And little by little, I just requested all of the cats be sent to us. We ended up getting 19 of the group, most of which are all adopted. I have I have Shenzi, Stell, Avril. I think 4 left at the shelter. But yeah, I mean, it's they're doing really well, and I'm really, really happy to have them home. I can't wait till they're strutting around the whole house and really, you know, just part of the whole crew. It shouldn't take too long with Lisa. Aria might take a little bit longer, but it'll be all right. I know what I'm doing. How does Mahomes do it? You know, I don't know, man. I'm a fan of the dude. Definitely wasn't a fan of him during the Super Bowl, but I have been otherwise throughout. His fucking arm is just incredible. I mean, he has that Russell Wilson's ability to scramble and move around. And when he fucking lets that ball go, it's a thing of beauty. Like, you see him fucking drop back, and then the ball just goes fucking airborne. And you know, like, he's got a guy on the other end. He's almost always got a guy on the other end, whether it's Hill or whoever. Like, he just lets go of this fucking ball, and this shit looks like a punt, and it just winds up right in the guy's arms like no one's around him. It's incredible. I mean, he's definitely a next-level quarterback. Some of the shit he does is fucking stupid, and, like, they someone needs to rein that in. Like, they tried that play where I forget who the fuck it was. Was it Watkins? He pitched it back to him or threw, like, a screen pass behind the line. And then he took off for, like, a 30-yard pass into the end zone. They tried to, like, bomb it to Mahomes. Bro, you lost one fucking game this season. You have Lock on the fucking first round bye. Don't send your fucking quarterback on a fucking fly route to the end zone. What are you out of your fucking mind? Like, look, I get, you know, you're bad motherfuckers, but, like, you only fuck that shit up once where your quarterback gets fucked up and it's too late. You know, but I don't know. Yeah, he's something else. He really is. Brian asked me thoughts on NFL playoffs and my prediction for the Super Bowl. Excited for the playoffs, not excited for us to not be in it, but it is what it is. You know, we got some resetting to do and figuring out what to do at quarterback, whether it be Jimmy, whether it be, you know, there's so many names that have been floated around. I don't even want to go through it, but there's a lot of options. I would like to see us continue with Jimmy. I would like to see us draft a quarterback, though. I want to have someone kind of up and coming, get rid of Mullins, and then if Jimmy doesn't make it, you know, if he gets hurt again, basically, then we'll have Rosen there who maybe will flourish in our offense. You never know. This guy was supposed to be awesome. They didn't give him a lot of time in Arizona, and then he was out and fucking Kyler Murray was in, and, yeah, you can't blame them for passing on a guy for Murray, but in the same token, does that mean this dude's complete trash? And everywhere he got shuffled around, it seemed like they already had a guy, so they weren't, like, dying to make it work with him. So you just never know. And Shanahan's a really good offensive coach, and you never know what they could do with that guy. But if they also draft a quarterback to learn and hang out there, I'd feel a little bit better about our backups. You know, our defense has played lights out for a lot of the season with so many people hurt. With Nick Bosa back next year, it's going to be a fucking problem. But back to the playoffs. Prediction for the Super Bowl. It's tough. I got to go Chiefs. Chiefs Saints. I don't think Green Bay can handle the Saints in the playoffs. I don't think they can. If they can, it's probably going to be Green Bay in the Super Bowl because I don't know who's stopping them either. And if it ain't the Chiefs, it's the Bills, because the Bills, they got something going on there. They're a good team. I don't know that they outgun Mahomes. I don't know that that happens. That's going to be really difficult. There's a mode that KC hits, and it's not just Mahomes. That defense starts getting in there, disrupting things. They start making big plays. You know, they have a lot of things going on. So until someone proves they can beat Kansas City when it counts, I got to go Kansas City. But, I mean, for my buddy Jeremy, shout out to him. I got you 5 stars. You know, he's a diehard Bills fan from Buffalo. So, I mean, for him, I'd love to see his boys do it. I root for the Chiefs outside of the Niners because, you know, that's where Joe Montana went. That's where my grandmother took her fandom after all those years of being a 49er fan and raising me a 49er fan. They got rid of Montana, and she was like, "How fucking dare you? I'm going with him." She was mad. And That was it. So, you know, I always support the Chiefs as long as they're not up against my guys. I was not torn on who I wanted to win the Super Bowl by any stretch of the imagination. They were enemies that day. But with my guys out of it, I don't mind the Chiefs repeating, you know. Get the shit out of your system. So that way when we're riled the fuck up next year, all your guys are signed off somewhere else for bigger contracts. Now it's our turn, you know. But either way, I'll take a rematch in the Super Bowl too because, you know, we fucked that up. That would be my prediction, Super Bowl and all of this. Definitely started getting turned up on these parlays. I've been doing pretty good. I won 2 this week, 4 last week, 2 the week before. I'm rolling, but that's how it usually happens right at the end of the season. I start getting some shit going, and then the season's over. So hopefully I'll get another good week. And then maybe the first week of the playoffs, I'll hit a parlay. You know, it's hard because I usually do a bunch of parlays. You can't do a bunch of parlays, really, when it comes to the playoffs. Playoffs. I guess I could, though. I could do, like, overs and unders, and then I do point spreads on another one. You know, I'll play with it. But, yeah, that's that. Shout out to Shaheen. You know, he's doing a recording on this, and I think he does Garden of Doom is his show. And check out Andrew Carluck, False Count Radio, Sozio, Struggling with Sozio. Trying to think of Eric at the Jalen Hurts is ruining Carson Wentz's life podcast. That dude is, I mean, Jalen Hurts is enough of a quarterback to make sure that Carson Wentz doesn't play in Philly next year. I mean, they're talking about competition and all this other bullshit, but there's no way that they would just go back to Carson. I can't imagine. Because if they do, I mean, I guess they got trade value out of Hurts at this point. He's making bullshit rookie mistakes. You can't expect him to go out there and just fucking play, you know, perfect football. So obviously, you know, he looked like shit at the end of that game and threw in a bunch of picks and all this. But what do you want him to do? You put him in three quarters of the way through the season and you're like, all right, your turn now. So bullshit offensive line and all that. Come on, man. But let's see. Oh, this Trump shit, right? I don't understand how anyone can't see through this. So the last time they did the stimulus bill, we got 1,200. You didn't hear one fucking word out of Trump saying, oh, I wanted to give you more. He didn't say that shit. He didn't try that shit. He wasn't going for that shit. Anyone else suggested it, he'd be the first one to be like, no, no, no. Ain't happening. Now this fucking dude is on his way out. And just to break the fucking news to anybody who still doesn't believe it, he's on his way out. But I don't think any of those people listen to my podcast. It doesn't matter. But so he goes like, stop, you know. They have this 600 lined up. 600 was lined up and ready to go. We would have had this shit in 2 weeks. And that bill would have, I guess, whatever the fuck bill or whatever they passed would have stopped the government shutdown. Last minute, he's like, oh, no, give them more money. Stop everything. Okay, so now until that's solved, we get nothing. He throws $2,000 out there. And knows motherfucking well his own people wouldn't fucking vouch for $2,000. But him trying to do that to the idiots that followed this dude and believe his bullshit, they're going to go, he's my fucking hero. He tried to get us more money. And you know why you feel like that? Because you're a stupid fucking asshole. That's why you feel like that. Because if you really think that this fucking guy wants to give you more money, why the fuck didn't he do it the first time? This dude knew the shit was going to get shot down. He knew the fuck who was going to shoot it down and everything. And, you know, every single time someone goes against what Trump says or Trump wants, he personally attacks them. And he doesn't stop. He's not doing that right now. Because this isn't what he really fucking wanted. He didn't want this shit. He just wanted to make you think that he wanted this shit. Because that, in the end, makes him look like this unsung hero that even his own people couldn't contain how sweet he was to people. Get the fuck out of here. It's all bullshit. He put a complete halt to the whole fucking thing in the meantime, and we're still waiting on what's going to happen. I'll tell you, for me, I already figured the shit out. Because, and it's weird that it's 600, but I told you, you know, the things that are going on with this girl, she was going to, you know, be paying 600 and she's going to have her room per month. So now, like, the burden that it put on me and Nina is like, now the two of us have to add to what we were already going to put in for the mortgage, the, you know, the electric, the cable, the, you know, water, the, all of that shit. What we were going to put in for everything has to now increase by 600 a month between us to make up for what was going to be there and isn't anymore. So when they said 600 and they said also 600 per child in the house, yo, we're opening a new fucking account with all the 600 you give us. And it's going to sit right fucking there. And that compensates for every single month for 5 months leading up. As if that 600 is already there monthly, where it would have been prior to what happened with us here. So now we get to live comfortably for, not lavishly, you know what I mean? But how we expected to. We're not up against it with the bills. We're not, you know, stressed to the last day. Oh, shit, I don't know if we're going to be able to pay this one. No, we're gonna be exactly where we expected to after all this fucking drama shit went down. Until all this drama shit went down. So to me, it puts us right. So, hey, man, I'll take $2,000 and shit. But in the same token, it, you know, what are they hitting us with for the kids? Or would they update all of it to $2,000 each? Because, I mean, that's the motherfuckers getting really paid. I don't know. I don't know what the case is. But even on that low end 600, that puts my fucking life in a lot more comfortable space. I'm not going to, you know, treat it like found money and be like, oh, I'll go buy some shit. I'll go buy a PlayStation. Nah, I can put that specifically towards my regular everyday, every week life. So my paychecks ain't going to stress like that. My bills are taken care of. So I'll take what the fuck it is. It, you know, you got to understand, like, none of these fucking people owe you shit. The government, any of that. You could conjure up why they should be giving us money. Of course. They should be. But if they don't, nothing fucking happens to them. So you gotta rock on like it's like you're not getting shit from nobody. You go get the shit you're gonna get for yourself and whatever else shows up, great. But if you sit there waiting for it, you're gonna fucking starve. That's the, you know, that's how a lot of this shit goes. And I don't know. I'm excited for whatever the fuck we're going to get hit with, because as I said, it's going to kind of set me right over on this side of things. The COVID shit, man, I got to talk about this. And this is like, you know, it's tough because Nicole and Toby are good friends of mine. And I just, you know, you see this shit coming, and I have a certain level of being safe. And I'm on top of my shit, man. I don't hang out with people. I don't, you know, gather. There's not going to be any, you know, get-togethers or any shit for me, right? And I remember over the summer, it was like whatever H2O shit was going on. And Toby and Nicole decided they were going to drive to New Jersey and come surprise Matt Tremont at the H2O show and then be part of the little fan fest or whatever. And I thought it was crazy as fuck because nobody should be having a fan fest during a pandemic. Matt Tremont has been consistently reckless during this pandemic, packing that little bullshit building he lives in, you know, fan fest. It's just irresponsible bullshit. But, you know, for them to go, you know, from Ohio to travel to another state to surprise someone that wasn't even, you know, I, So I knew about the shit before Tremont knew about the shit. And Toby hit me up and he's like, hey, man, you want to get together? We'll be in Jersey for the day. And, you know, we're probably going to stay over to the next day. So, you know, we can go out and grab something to eat. Da, da, da. And I'm like, dude, yeah, I'd love to, but I can't do it, man. Like, I've been staying real safe with my family and I just don't, you know, I don't feel, you know, comfortable with it. He's like, oh, we, you know, we only had like one case in our county or something. So I didn't really think it was that big, you know? And I'm like, yeah, man, I'm just being safe, man. So, you know, I hope everything goes well for you, man. Hopefully I can catch you next time. And that's what it was, you know? And these are the type of actions that you see along the way. Every time the gyms close or open, you know, you see Nicole kind of flailing and getting like, you know, all spun out online, like she can't deal. And again, this, you adapt. You have to fucking adapt. There is on Joey Diaz podcast, back when he was still doing the church, he would tell you this pandemic for a lot of shit is just you adapt. There's a lot of shit in this pandemic that adds up the pay cut. There's adjusting, there's adapting, there's a change you're gonna have to make. And once you make that fucking change, the sooner you make that change, the more comfortable you'll be with everyday life. If you're just going to fucking kick and scream every day, and this isn't open, and this is bullshit, I want to eat inside, you know, like, you're not happy, you know? And yeah, you would like it if this was open, you'd like it if this was how it was, you'd like it if this, but the sooner you adjust and just play by the fucking book and stop screaming about someone screwing you over and your rights and your this and your that, it just becomes life again. You can make this life again. Instead of screaming at your health department, your local health department, and your mayors and your governors and your this and your that, create a new fucking normal for yourself that's comfortable and you can rock with it. And then it's just, it is what it is. And when things go back to normal, you'll be there too. But instead of being mad about every single thing every day, like it's just going to go away because you don't like it, it's really fucking immature and irresponsible. So, you know, I saw a lot of those actions and, you know, Toby even came out of retirement to retire again, to wrestle another guy or some shit. You know, it's like, dude, fine. And, you know, I love these guys. I mean, I don't want to see things happen to them. And then, fucking sure enough, they get fucking COVID. Of course they fucking get COVID. And that's not even, like, the reason why I would even bring any of this up. But even after waiving all of the safety measures, just if they said 5% capacity in the gym, you'd make sure you're one of those 5% because you just couldn't live without being there. I'll tell you what, man. You tell me there's 25% capacity, you ain't going to find me in that 25 fucking percent. Because they're saying it's dangerous if there's too many fucking people around. So that 25% is dangerous too. We're just hoping they're far enough away to not be as fucking dangerous. I don't need to fucking be there. I'm all good. You know what I mean? So, you know, the gym stuff to this and that. So they get it. And, you know, Nicole gets it first. She's all fucked up over it. And Toby gets it real bad, too. She was saying she couldn't taste anything. She felt like there's an elephant sitting on her chest. You know, she couldn't breathe this and that. But, like, amongst her updates, she's yelling, like, fuck the Ohio Board of Health, they're saying I can't cook for my children. Like, dude, they're not doing anything to you. Why are you mad at the fucking health department? You fucking waived all cautions and did whatever you could to just keep pretending like it doesn't exist. Keep rocking on like this shit is just another day because it just feels better for you that way. And then you, of course, caught fucking COVID. Now, the next thing that they did, just like when they told you you shouldn't do this and you shouldn't do that, and that wasn't okay with you, the next thing they're going to say is, okay, if you have COVID, here's how we would like you to control it. Look, we're not your, you know, look, we can't make you do it, but we really think that, like, if you could have, you know, your significant other do all the stuff like this, you know, even my man Shaheen, his girl had to quarantine for a little bit. So he fucking, she was quarantined off, you know, in her own space in the house. And he just did fucking work. He just put in work and he just made sure everything in the house was taken care of so they can make sure that things were okay and then go back to business. Not, you know, oh, the health department says I can't cook for my children, quote unquote. Like, dude, what the fuck? Why are you? So, and initially it was all these quotes and this Ohio health department. That was just her having it. So of course Toby got it. And then Toby hit me up. He's like, it finally got me, brother. And I feel like all my wrestling injuries are coming back. That's how it feels. Everything hurts and I can't breathe. And dude, I don't want to see my fucking friends like that. So then today, and this shit just happened. Today, Nicole's taking gym pictures. And she posted on there saying, freedom at last or something. I'm cringing at all the people not social distancing or properly sanitizing their equipment. And but I'm here. And then someone said, oh, I'm glad you're better. She's like, I'm not 100%. You know, I'm still having problems breathing and this. So you still have COVID symptoms and you're in the gym. You're in the fucking gym. This is why it's not safe for you to fucking be out there. This is why it's not safe for you to be in 25% capacity, because maybe one of those 25% have fucking COVID and feel like it's okay to be there. And apparently, they said, she said Thursday is Toby's, his quarantine's up. Well, he texted me last Thursday that he just got it. So even with active COVID, they tell you you're good after a week. You can just come out after a week, no matter how you feel. If you still feel sore, you still feel this, that, you just come on out. It's fucking crazy, guys. Like, I'm sorry, but like, it seems really fucking reckless on their part. And to me, it just goes like, well, why the fuck? Why is that necessary? Are the other gym people aren't more susceptible to COVID that day when you go out there almost not 100% type shit? This is, you know, this is just crazy. And like I said, I love these two. I this isn't me hating on motherfuckers or wishing bad on people. This is me just not understanding this way of life, just not understanding the lack of caution, just disregard for other people's health. And just it just fucking bothers me. And that's why I just wanted to talk about it, because it's this irony that's like, man, like, it's not just the jerk offs over there. It's not just the jerk off. It's some people that you're close to that you look and be like, wait, you did what? Oh, you have it. Or you could have told me before, you know, like, you just never know. Like, it's, man, I just hope we get through this shit soon, because our, you know, I hope these vaccines really get shit popping, and, you know, it just is able to fucking be eradicated via vaccines and some mask wearing and stuff. I don't know, but I just think as a society, we're just not fucking smart enough as a whole to control this. We're too selfish. We're too fucking self-centered and worried about how our day is going to go. I mean, we take for granted so much of the fucking freedom that we have, and just being healthy, just walking around, just doing our own fucking thing, breathing normally. As opposed to the people who wish they could have that fucking chance back, that are on a fucking ventilator or are dead. And, you know, it's just over for them. I don't know. It's scary shit out there. We'll talk about some rap shit real quick. I was going to do this in the middle of the show and I forgot. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to fucking hype this whole thing up. And then I'll just take the show out with that as like an outro. You know what I mean? So, Akeem Ali, this cat, fuck, I don't even remember where he's from, but I think Mississippi, come to think of it. He put out a song called Kimi Casanova. Look that shit up. That shit is like, and the first thing you're going to do is laugh at it because he's just on some like old school smooth pimp shit, talking shit, just. But as you get through the song, you start to go, oh shit, because it's smooth as fuck. He's just, he's got punchlines and all this shit. So I'm like, I don't know who this guy is, but like, I'm feeling this shit. Listen to that song a bunch of times, watch a little video. It's just funny and all this, you know, because he's just playing just like this, just smooth, fucking pimped out dude. And so then I was like, yo, let me look this dude up and see what other kind of shit he's up to. So I looked it up and he's got an album that came out in 2019 called Rollin'. And that shit is fire, man. Like, this dude, he reminds me of so many different people. That, like, that early 50 Cent that just came onto the fucking scene arrogant. Like, I don't give a fuck who you are. Like, some of that shit. But he's got, like, that southern kind of flow. But what just... And dope punchlines. But the thing that shines through more than anything is that confidence. This dude has like a confidence about him, like he's been doing this shit for 20 years and he's a new cat. This dude has star power based on the way he raps, as far as I'm concerned. I've been fucking with his shit all week and 2 weeks now. And his shit is dope. I'm hoping this dude drops another album and just kind of keeps the fucking foot on the pedal. Capitalizes on it because that Kimi Casanova has gone somewhat viral because of how crazy it is. And his other tracks that came before that are dope as fuck. And yeah, I hope he just keeps the foot on the gas and capitalizes off that shit he just put out. So yeah, check that out. I'm going to play a track called Rollin'. I think I hit all my shout outs and everything. Yeah, so I think that's all I got. Happy New Year, motherfuckers. Now, look, 2021 ain't going to change a motherfucking thing in your life. That number ain't changing a motherfucking thing. I posted this shit on Facebook. You've heard this shit before, but I'm going to tell you again. Get shit fucking popping right now. Go fucking start working out today. Right fucking now, go do some shit. Go do 5 fucking squats right now. And if you didn't do 5 fucking air squats yesterday, you're doing better right now today. Go do some fucking shit. Don't talk about after the new year, I'm going to start. You ain't about to do shit permanently if you got to wait to start doing it. That's it. Let's get it fucking going. Do that shit now. Let's get busy. Figure out what you could do with your finances to better your shit. Figure out what you could do with your fucking, with yourself physically to get yourself better. Whether it be, you know, training, whether it be eating better, whether it be, you know, the fucking doctor's appointments you've been putting off or the dentist appointments you've been putting off. Go get that shit done. Go get that pain fucking looked at. Get yourself better in one way or another. Let's take steps fucking forward. Stop worrying about eventually 2021, 2000. We got 90-year-old motherfuckers dying and people are like, fuck you, 2020. You think that shit wouldn't have happened last year? You think that shit wouldn't have happened next year? You only live so long, motherfucker. Our times are limited and you're sitting here waiting for next year to come. You got days left before that shit happened. You just got no plans for that shit? You're already banking on another week on this planet? You're a lucky motherfucker, man, because you need to know that you ain't fucking guaranteed shit. So get it fucking popping now, tomorrow, and the fucking day after. And if 2021 comes next week, you'll be ready for it because you've been popping since fucking last week. You know what I mean? Like, you just got to get shit rolling, man. All that bullshit excuse, oh, I'm going to stop drinking tomorrow. Yeah, well, bitch, you're drunk now, and I ain't trying to hear it. You know what I mean? Let me know when you stop drinking. Now I just stopped drinking. Then boom, there you go. Now I feel you, because you just told me you did some shit. I ain't saying now, but tomorrow I'm going to do some shit. You ain't about to do nothing impressive. Do some shit right now. That's it. So, happy new year, for what it's worth. I'll check you motherfuckers out. 2021, you know. Peace.
This is a homage beat.
Young nigga, fuck is up. Shit is about to hit him out of nowhere. Sucker punch, give me my props, nigga. You know I'm the coolest nigga you ever met. I'm feeling so patriotic, Belichick. Tied out, bitches, give me some credit for this confidence level. Took a second to get that confidence settled, then now that shit amazing. I ain't bragging or boasting or trying to stunt. I ain't giving niggas nothing on credit, ain't trying to front. You just be your fucking self and get some act right, nigga. I'm the shit, what the fuck I'm supposed to act like, nigga? To the bitches who ain't let me hit, I get amnesia. Why you think I got this men in black flashlight, nigga? Crack pipe, nigga, that's what my swag on when I dress. Give them something to talk about when I flex. I'm still modest, I just know that God don't make no junk. I take my time with this shit, cause great clouds got silver liners, you bitch.
Just be your own self, don't let them tell you nothing. All you got is self-worth, don't let them take it from you. If you ain't got nothing, nigga, you better make it something. Cause even if they don't tell me, I'ma be the shit, nigga. Bitches be like, every time they come around me. Nigga, I be rolling, rolling. Niggas wanna cop style. Every time they see a king clean, they know that nigga rolling, rolling. I make everything stop. Wow. Every time I come through smooth, nigga, I be rolling, rolling. Bitches shooting shots now. They used to didn't want a young nigga until they see me rolling, rolling, rolling. Take shit and make it cool if it ain't. Listen to opinions, that bitch, you a fool if you think that I'ma let you persuade me into thinking that I ain't popping LeBron on a foul call, my nigga. I ain't flapping, I'm about slicker than worm sperm, shit all gravy. Lifestyle, Atlantic Ocean, nigga, shit all wavy. This theme level is nuts, nigga, shit all crazy. I be flyin' in the bird, man, shit all baby. Look to all the hoes that they wanna let me hit. I'm a dog now, so don't try to pet me, bitch. Listen to everybody stressing over if they gon' like you or not. Fuck them all. Long as you like what you got. You just be your own self, don't let them tell you nothing. All you got is self-worth, don't let them take it from you. If you ain't got nothing, nigga, you better make it something. Cause even if they don't tell me, I'ma be the shit, nigga.